night time. Darkness. The hours when ancient mysteries and strange happenings walk the hidden corridors of the earth. Here is he who tells these stories of weird and strange. This is Supernaturally Yours. Tonight's story that is Supernaturally Yours is called The Cyprian Cat.
And so I'm going to be hanged. Hanged. For shooting a cat. It's decent of you to come and see me, Harrison. Though they tell me it's a hopeless sort of case. I've told them the whole story. But I'll tell it to you again. They don't believe me. I should make up something more plausible. What's the use? I'd fall down somewhere if I tried to swear to a lie. What I'm going to tell you is the absolute truth. Harrison, I fired one shot, and one shot only. And that was at the cat. As I told them, Meridew and I had been friends since we were boys. Though we drifted apart, we always kept in touch. 2 years ago, he wrote and told me he was getting married, and he was tremendously in love. At first, his letters to me were deliriously happy. Later, he seemed disturbed about his wife's health. She was restless. Town life didn't suit her. They planned to go to an inn out in the country that she liked. Well, last month, Meridew wrote and asked if I could join them for the 3 weeks of my vacation. He was anxious to see me and have me meet Felice. And keep her company while he worked on a new dam as a civil engineer. They were in a rather remote spot, Harrison. It sounded restful and was so hot in town, I decided to go. The train was crowded, and I found myself in the first-class smoker with three other people. An elderly man, a woman with a lot of bags and baskets, and seated next to her, a girl. Yes, it should have been a peaceful journey. Well, Harrison, it wasn't. And that was because of my miserable phobia. I'm one of those unfortunate people who can't stand cats. I mean, knowing a cat's in the same room with me makes me feel like nothing on earth. Makes my skin crawl. Makes me ill. I just can't describe it. With others who feel the way I do about cats, the dislike is usually mutual. But not so with me. Remember this, Harrison. Cats find me fascinating and make a beeline for me all the time. Well, I figured the elderly lady had a cat in one of the baskets, and I tried to get my mind off it by studying the girl opposite me. And she was worth looking at, too. Very slim and dark, with a dead white skin. Her eyes were astonishing, Harrison. I've never seen anything like them. Very pale brown, almost amber, set wide apart, and a little slanting. They seemed to have a luminous quality of their own. Does all this sound as if I were attracted? Well, I wasn't. She held no sort of appeal from me. She was unusual, that's all. But though I tried, I couldn't shake off the awful feeling of a cat's presence. And I had to go out into the corridor. Now, I tell you all this, Harrison, to clarify the rest of the story. How I feel about cats. And how I came to buy the revolver. Well, we pulled into the station, and just the girl and I got out. And there was Meridew waiting. The girl was Mrs. Meridew. Now I noticed more about her. What an attractive, low voice she had, and how her movements were lithe and graceful. And I understood, though I didn't share Meridew's infatuation. Well, he said the place suited him wonderfully. Felice had a new lease on life, and that he felt fit. But Harrison, I thought he looked tired and tense. And the inn? The inn was fine. On the low casement opening on the garden. I was tired and turned in early. But I couldn't sleep. I was restless. It was hot. I went to the window for a breath of air and to admire the moon-drenched garden. And then I saw them. The cats. Rolling and twisting and jumping in shadows like some kind of weird ritual dance in the moonlight. And then sneaking so silently away. Silently. The way cats do. I went back to bed sleepless, my nerves on edge. And as I lay there, I began to hear something. A muffled rustling noise that seemed to come from the ivy that ran along my window. Nearer and nearer and nearer, till it landed with a soft thud on the sill. A great Cyprian cat. Harrison, I've never seen such a monster. One of those striped gray and black cats they call Cypress or Cyprian. There it stood, its head cocked, staring into the room at me. I couldn't stand it. I chased it and it went off without a sound. And finally I slept. Well, the next day, Harrison, we drove out to see the dam. And it was then I saw that Felice still wasn't cured of her nervousness. It seems we had to cross some planks laid over a stream. It was neither wide nor dangerous, but Felice refused to cross it. When Meridew tried to insist, she became hysterical. Well, we finally calmed her and said she could wait for us. That was all. But it's strange, wasn't it? Her morbid fear of running water. So there, two of us now with our own phobias. As for me, it would have been perfect at Little Hexham if every night the garden hadn't been haunted by the cat. Well, Harrison, as I've said before, my relations with Felice were perfectly ordinary. Meridew was out all day, and I spent a good deal of time in her company. But I liked her, that's all. She was not talkative. She would sit or lie for hours in the sunshine, hardly speaking, only stretching her body out to the light and heat. And sometimes she would spend a whole afternoon lazily toying with a twig or a pebble. And yet, somehow, to me, she was not a restful person. It's peculiar, but true. Oh, yes, Harrison, about the revolver. I bought that at Kingston. We drove there one day, and browsing in a second-hand shop, I saw this small revolver. They're anxious to make a sale, made no bones about a license. But when I casually said I meant to take a pot shot at a couple of cats, he seemed to all at once wake up. And he asked where I was staying, and I told him Little Hexham. I remember he said, "You best be careful, sir. They think a heap of their cats there, and they say it's unlucky to kill them." And then he mumbled something about a silver bullet. Yes, to that I swear, Harrison, a silver bullet. Well, that night the thunder came, and we were all in a state of nerves. Meridew was sullen. Felice was wrought up to a queer kind of excitement. And I had the feeling the house was full of cats. Well, I went up to my room and I opened my window for a breath of air. It was pitch dark, and as I stood there, Harrison, as I stood there, I got that foul sensation of sickness. The flesh crawled on my bones, and I knew that one of them was slinking close to me in the dark. I turned, and there she was. The great Cyprian on the sill. Her eyes gleaming like green lights. I yelled and struck, and she snarled, and she leaped out. And all at once, the storm broke, thundering and lightning. And I became aware then of a wild pounding at my door. It was Meridew, terrified and sobbing, "It's Felice. She's ill. I can't wake her. You've got to help me." While Harris and we ran to their room, and there in bed lay Felice, with only a sheet upon her. She was stretched flat on her back, her long black hair on her shoulders, her face waxen and shrunk, like the face of a corpse. And her flesh was cold. She seemed as if she were drugged. It was like handling a dead woman. And then we became aware of something outside the window. A stealthy scraping on the pane. And on the sill, the Cyprian cat sat and clawed at the window. Her drenched fur clung to her body, her eyes glaring, her mouth open in a howl. Well, Harrison, she scratched the glass as though possessed. I cursed her and turned away. She set up an incessant, weird, despairing wail. As if she had to get into that room. Well, Meridew went for a doctor, and I kept trying to revive Felice. Then I remembered I had a small brandy flask in my room. As I ran to get it, the cat suddenly stopped howling. In my room, I rummaged for the flask in the dark, when I heard a loud, triumphant mew and turned to see the Cyprian cat on my sill. It sprang in, flew past me, and out the door. Well, Harrison, I found the flask and rushed back, just as Meridew came running up the stairs. As we entered, Felice stirred. Sat up, Harrison, and asked us what was the matter. I was too stunned to speak. Well, the next day, none of us mentioned the previous night. Felice was in the best of spirits. We were all on good terms. Ask Meridew. There was nothing to suspect. Nothing. And now, Harrison, the rest I'll never understand. That night, we all turned in early. It was a moonlit night. For once, no mewing came to trouble me. I didn't even bother to shut the door or window. I put the revolver on my bed. Yes, it was loaded. But I only meant to go at the cats if they started up again. And then, about midnight, I heard what I'd been half expecting. That stealthy creeping in the ivy, and that faint meowing. I reached for the revolver. The big cat sprang up on the ledge. I aimed and fired, and the beast let out one horrible screech and sprang into the room. The shot had sounded terrific in the silent house. And Harrison, somewhere I heard a distant voice cry out. I jumped up and pursued the cat, holding my revolver with some idea of finishing it off. And then at the door of Meridew's room, I saw Felice. She stood with one hand on each doorpost, swaying. Then she fell down at my feet. Her chest was all stained with blood. And as I stood paralyzed, staring at her, clutching the revolver, Meridew came out and found us. Like that. I can't help it if others at the inn say they never saw the Cyprian cat. Meridew did. Harrison, I can't help it if the trail of blood led from my room to hers. I know it was the cat I shot. Search the house, Harrison. Pull it to pieces. Find the Cyprian cat. And you'll find my
The book is closed. The story over. And so, until next time we meet in the hours of darkness, among ghoulies and ghosties and long-legged beasties and things that go bump in the night, may heaven deliver us. We remain supernaturally yours.